You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. We're back with another episode of How To 20-Something, where today I am bringing on a special guest to discuss all things hormones. We're going to talk about what to look for if you think you're experiencing hormone imbalances, ways to naturally help regulate your hormones, the impact birth control has on the female's body and how to ease out of it, the way your diet and fitness regimen impacts your hormones for better or for worse, and what symptoms are often overlooked, but it's really your body's way of screaming at you that something is wrong. I am so excited for this episode because most of you listening are in your peak fertility window, myself included, and it's time to get a hold of your hormones and better understand the ways you are unintentionally messing them up. So I also want to preface this episode, like I do with most episodes, that there is going to be an individual variance to everything. We're going to communicate hormones on a general level and, as always, consult your doctor or professional before making any drastic changes to your health. But you know that before we give you any of that good information, I need to introduce who you'll be listening to for the duration of this episode. Rachel Heppner is a holistic nutritionist, integrative nutrition health coach, and women's health, hormone, fertility, and birth control detox expert. She entered the field of functional medicine after being underserved by conventional medicine that put band-aids on her symptoms in the form of medications, eventually ending up on 6 different prescriptions that weren't actually healing her body. Through her professional training and with years of experience, Rachel was able to heal her PCOS, hypothyroidism, severe cystic acne, chronic fatigue, and extreme anxiety naturally. Now, in year 5 of her private practice, Real Health with Rach, she is living her dharma by helping women achieve incredible health through the power of healing their hormones. Rach has been on a mission to empower women to become their best advocate in their health journeys after she experienced firsthand how conventional medicine writes off and downplays the experience of women, causing them to be underserved, overlooked, and suffering with symptoms that may be common, but are certainly not normal. She is passionate about every facet of women's hormones health and helping women detox from hormonal birth control, identify the root causes of their symptoms through functional lab testing, conceive naturally and have a healthy pregnancy, recover and rebalance hormones postpartum, and navigate perimenopause. Her practice centers around how to heal hormones naturally through nutrition, lifestyle, movement, and by living in harmony with our menstrual cycles. That is quite the bio. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to How To 20-Something.
Oh, hi, Jess. I am so happy to be here, and I will take any opportunity I can to talk about my favorite topics on planet Earth. So I cannot wait for this conversation.
Good. So we're just going to jump right into it then and start with, why should someone even care about their hormones and if they're changing or if they're not functioning at optimal levels?
Yeah, well, the best example of this that I can give you is my own story and how I neglected my hormones for over a decade of my life, leading to a lot of problems in my body, like you shared in my bio. So unfortunately, like a lot of teenage girls, I was suffering with early symptoms of hormonal imbalance that are congruent with puberty, which was irregular menstrual cycles, periods that were painful, heavy. I was having acne. I was dealing with some of the mood imbalances and mood swings that were, again, congruent with puberty, which most people don't know. Puberty lasts like a good 5 to 7 years after you get your first menstrual cycle. And we don't give our bodies time to figure out which way is up and how to get into her own natural groove. So my mom took me to the gynecologist at 15 and said, my daughter is having irregular periods. I was getting a period like once every 3 to 4 months, and she's dealing with acne. And I was given a prescription for hormonal birth control. And my hormones were never tested. I was never given any diagnosis or explanation. It was just, take this pill, it's going to fix your problem. And again, as a 15-year-old who's embarrassed with acne and doesn't understand what's going on with her period, it seemed like a great solution. So I slap a Band-Aid on my hormones, and I spend the next 5 years getting more and more and more sick and not realizing that it was coming from my hormones. So like you shared, by the time I was 23, I gained like about 50 pounds in less than 5 years. I went from having mild acne to having very severe cystic acne, and I was on 6 different medications. And at no point did any of my doctors ever say, maybe the birth control's the problem. Maybe there's an underlying issue here that's going on. It was just, you're on the wrong pill, or you need another medication, or, you know, we just need to do a topical or an antibiotic, or, you know, fill in the blank with whatever it is. And I got to the point one day where I said, like, I don't feel good. I don't feel any better. And my symptoms were worsening. I went from just having mild acne and irregular periods to having severe anxiety and panic attacks, severe cystic acne, and migraines. I thought I was having a, this is in quotes if you're listening, quote unquote, period regularly because of the birth control. And again, I wasn't even thinking about my hormones at this point in my life, in my early 20s. And it was that lack of education that we get as young women, paired with the lack of understanding or the know-how of what to do, that let my health spiral out of control for so many years. So it honestly, it wasn't until I was in my mid to late 20s that I went back to school for nutrition. I did not go to school for nutrition originally. I went back to school because I was like, there has to be more here. There has to be more going on, because every time I go to the doctor, I'm just given another pill and I don't feel any better. And we're playing a game of whack-a-mole with symptoms, right? I get a side effect from prescription A, so they give me prescription B to manage it. And so if we're not, especially as women, everything in our body is governed by hormones. Every single thing that happens in your body on a daily basis is governed by hormones, because hormones are chemical messengers telling your brain what to do, your organs what to do, your muscles what to do, your ovaries what to do. So if we're not thinking about it, if we're not worrying about hormone health, we're completely missing the mark, especially as women, when we think about the importance of our reproductive years in our late teens, 20s, 30s, and early 40s, and how critical that is for our overall lifespan and health span. So I spent a lot of years of my life not thinking about, not worrying about my hormones, and my health got progressively worse and worse and worse as I went down this path of conventional medicine. And I'd say, like a lot of young women, I then fell into the trap of diet culture, right? Like I gained a lot of weight in a very short amount of time, and I'm 5'2". So for me to gain 50 pounds when I'm a very small person was terrifying for me. So then what did I do? Jess, I started dieting. I started doing more exercise. I started restricting a lot of foods in my diet, which then led to a binge eating disorder that I battled in my early 20s. As a result of this hyper-restrictive diet, all of this over-exercise, and my mental health just being in total disarray as a result. And I wish I could say that my experience is unique, that I'm like, oh, this was one in a million. This is never going to happen to anybody else. But, you know, I see hundreds of women in my practice, and I hear a story very similar to mine over and over and over again. And that's kind of the conveyor belt we're put on as young girls of, you've got a problem, birth control is your solution, and whenever you want to get pregnant later in your life, just stop taking it and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And we know that that is also not the case with the amount of infertility I see as well. So that was that's a little bit about me and my story and a long-winded answer to your first question. But I think that context really matters, that maybe there's pieces of my story that the listener can resonate with.
Yeah, I know I can, because I'll be mentioning this in a future episode that I've already been planning, but I was misdiagnosed with PCOS and was provided with a Band-Aid fix for it. And no gyno I've ever had since has said that there's any cysts in my ovaries. I was on birth control for 5 months, I think, and I was like, screw this, I hate it, nothing felt fine in my body. Luckily, I was very in tune with my body and knew just let's get off of it. I'm done. And I wasn't on it long enough to experience huge side effects. I did experience weight gain within the like oncoming months, and then my body just started to regulate itself. And we're going to get into how to get off of birth control properly, because I think, as what you were saying, is a lot of us are told that, yeah, just take birth control, whether it's for irregular periods or for acne or just to prevent having a baby, and then you can just get off of it when you want kids and it'll be fine and you don't really have to think about anything else. And we now know that that's not the case. But I think when everyone was put on birth control when they were like 14, 15 years old, I was 20 when I was put on it, that they didn't know. Like, no doctors really knew the repercussions. And it's only recently that a lot of studies and a lot of findings are coming out about the dangers of it, which, again, we're going to get into. I want to ask, what you mentioned some of your signs and symptoms. What are some other problems around hormonal imbalances that people should keep an eye out for? Maybe that's not so obvious, like little subtle issues that are coming up that they don't realize are connected. We can start with women, and then I also want to talk about what men can look for if there's any similarities.
Yeah. So, like, funny, if somebody said, Rachel, what are some like common signs and symptoms of hormonal imbalance? I would say, like, how much time do you have? because there is a very, very long laundry list, which again can make it hard to identify what's going on in your body specifically. So I'm happy to share this with your audience, Jess. I have a hormonal imbalances assessment that I have all of my clients take. It's on my Instagram. It's free to anybody who wants to take it, so that you can self-assess and be able to look at a lot of these symptoms and check the box to say, you know, which one is me? What am I dealing with? And what hormone is it aligned to? So symptoms are your body's check engine lights. So if you think about your car, you think about your dashboard, a check engine light comes on that says, Jess, something's going on here. We need you to investigate further. It's not always crystal clear, right? The check engine light is just like, please investigate. It's not like, oh, Jess, there's a spark plug in this part of your engine that is out of whack, or I don't know anything about cars. So like, if someone's listening to this that's a car junkie, I'm sorry if I am butchering this. But it's a general sense of something is wrong, right? Like fuel gauge low. Your car doesn't turn on because the battery has, you know, gone out. Your body's very similar. Your body has a set of symptoms designed to get your attention that could be a sign of a few different underlying things. So some of the most common ones I see in my practice is weight gain or an inability to lose weight, especially around the midsection for women, which is what I call hormone belly. Your body's designed to protect your most crucial reproductive organs, which are your ovaries and your uterus that are in your lower stomach area. We see a lot when it comes to chronic fatigue. So saying like, I'm so tired. I can't get out of bed in the morning. I can't make it through the day without multiple cups of coffee. I feel like I need a nap in the afternoon. Or you get to bedtime and then you can't fall asleep. And you're like, I was so tired all day. Why can I not sleep now? You know, when we think about weight, it's the scale is either not moving or it's moving in the wrong direction despite my best efforts, which again is traditional diet culture tactics that we've been brainwashed with for decades at this point. Skin conditions, so think acne, eczema, rosacea, dry skin, really oily skin, issues with your mood. So if you feel like I'm always anxious, I'm always stressed out, I'm having periods of depressive episodes, especially around my cycle, I can't cope with stress very well. If you're having sleep disturbances, if you're like, I can't get to sleep, I can't stay asleep, I wake up in the middle of the night, or then I can't get out of bed in the morning, even after I've slept for a good 7, 8, 9 hours, you know, the skin stuff was a big part of mine, but I don't talk as much about hair loss. So changes in your hair is a big sign of hormonal imbalance. Is your hair growing really slowly? Are you losing a lot of hair? You know, I went through a period of time where I lost about 30% of my hair in like 6 months. And that was really, really scary. Like hair, especially as women, is something that like it gives us self-confidence that can like be really beautiful and like something that makes us feel good about ourselves. But if it's falling out, if it's really thin, if it's really brittle, it's the opposite. issues with your libido. So if you are not interested in having sex, if you find that you can't get aroused, if you're dealing with vaginal dryness or pain or just an overall lack of interest, inability to orgasm, our sexual health is so closely linked to our physical health as women, and it's still such a taboo topic to talk about. And then just, you know, what we would think of as traditional quote unquote period problems. So if you're having an irregular cycle, meaning it is not coming at the same time every month, if your cycle's really short, if your cycle's 25 days or less, that would be considered irregular. If your cycle's 35 days or more, it's considered irregular. If your period's really heavy, if you're going through multiple tampons or multiple pads in a day, if your period's really light, that's also a sign that there's something going on. Maybe you didn't ovulate. If you've got really painful cramps, if you're having migraines or headaches around your cycle, if you're having really strong cravings, really bad fatigue, I'm really, really sick of this like normalized PMS movement on social media of, oh, I'm on my period, I'm down and out, nobody talk to me. Like, no, that means we are normalizing feeling like shit as a result of your body sending you signals that something is not right. And to your point, you go to the doctor, the number one prescription given to young women is hormonal birth control. And it is not, that is not a cure. That is not a solution for any underlying hormonal imbalance or condition. It is simply a Band-Aid seeking to mask symptoms. And again, that's what I did not understand at 15. I don't think my mom understood that. I don't think either of us had informed consent to really know what it was and what it was doing. But like I said, there's so many potential symptoms of imbalance that it's really unique to you and your body. That's why I think doing the assessment is a good place to start. Like I said, I'm happy to share that link with you and your listeners to say like, hey, you're one of one limited edition. So take a look at what you're experiencing and then start to get some context around like, oh, this is a sign of high estrogen or low estrogen or blood sugar imbalance or high testosterone or low progesterone. It is so important to me that you can start to verbalize your experience with terminology that resonates with you. So instead of going to the doctor and saying, I don't feel good, we can go into the doctor and say, my symptoms are congruent with XYZ. And here's what I'm requesting. I'm requesting functional lab testing to understand what's going on in my body. Here's the markers that I want you to order. We're so conditioned to live in an authoritative society, right? Think about doctors, teachers, law enforcement agents. There are people in quote unquote positions of power. Especially as women, we are taught to be subservient to that. And that means that we get underserved. We get written off far more than men do. And I want you to be able to advocate for your experience and get the care that you deserve.
Wow. Yeah. There was so much that you just said that some of it was new to me and I'm loving all of it. We are definitely going to link that assessment in the show notes. I'm going to have Rachel send that to me so you guys can do it. I'll probably do it myself. Rachel, can men also take this assessment or is it specific to women?
No, I would say men could take this assessment as well. Symptoms can appear a little bit differently in men. So I primarily see women in my practice. I think that you know, that's who's drawn to me as a woman. But I do see male clients usually on referral. Right. So somebody's girlfriend, wife, or sister comes sees me, and then they're like, you need to go see Rachel. You're having problems too. But a lot of things are really similar. So there's no reason a male client of mine could not take it. And I'd say the two things I see most commonly in men, again, nobody's talking about this, is high estrogen. So you make three different kinds of estrogen. One kind of estrogen is made by your ovaries. So only females make that type of estrogen. But there's another kind of estrogen that's made by adipose tissue, which are your fat cells. And that is the kind of estrogen that both men and women make. And so I have a lot of men come to see me that think they're struggling with low testosterone, when in reality, they're actually struggling with high estrogen. Because nobody's telling men, hey, you make estrogen, your fat cells make estrogen. And if it's overproducing or you're not metabolizing or detoxing from it well, it's going to be causing more and more symptoms that we would say are, I hate to say, like congruent with the female experience, right? That the mood disturbances, weight gain, fatigue, having some of those like emotional dysregulation issues, but it also suppresses libido. It can suppress sexual functioning. So men that might be struggling with like erectile dysfunction or, you know, a performance in the bedroom, which causes a lot of anxiety, it can be a result of underlying imbalances, and it could be high estrogen, low testosterone, or a combination of the two. And everybody has adrenal glands, right? So when we think about cortisol and DHEA and our stress hormones, both men and women have those. So when we're thinking about adrenal health for men, it is a little bit of a different story. I think a fun fact I like to share is that as a woman, we have about 70% of our total hormonal volume coming from our adrenal glands. Your ovaries only make about 30% of your hormones, which makes sense, right? Because one day you're going to enter menopause and your ovaries won't be making hormones anymore at the rate they were when you were reproductive. So somewhere else in your body needs to make hormones when you're in menopause. So we rely on our adrenals for about 70% of hormone production. Well, men only rely on their adrenals for about 10% of hormone production. Their testicles make about 90% of their hormones because they're technically reproductive their entire lifetime. Right? Like how often do we see celebrities that are like having a kid at like age 70 or 75? Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so it's a different balance. Those scales are tilted in a different direction for men versus women. It's just one of the ways that we are very different, very unique when it comes to female bodies and why I'm so passionate about it. Because the vast, vast majority of medical research was done on male participants. And then they just assume, well, if it worked for a male, it's going to work for a female. And I can tell you for the vast, vast majority of cases, that is simply not true. We're just trying to overlay one data set onto a different population when there's too many different variables at play.
Yeah, this is fascinating. I love learning more about hormones. I do my own research, but I definitely am not an expert in it. I don't know everything, and I only know my own experiences. So I actually want to jump back to what you had mentioned about normalizing painful periods, because that's what we do. And I know I have my own version of painful periods. I PMS, I'm super exhausted. And it's like, oh no, it's just because I'm about to get my period. It's my body's way of telling me we're about to get our period. So I think to some extent, you are gonna experience a dip because like your hormones do change throughout your entire menstrual phase. And how do you know if it's too extreme that it's actually a hormonal imbalance versus this is actually a normal way of listening to your body when it's communicating to you that like, hey, take care of yourself a little bit better. You're not going to have as much strength in the gym. You're not going to have as much energy to do things. Like you are going to be a little more sensitive. Like where's the line? How should someone know if they should go see a doctor or if this is part of being a female?
Yeah. Oh, such a good question. And I think there's a big difference between living in sync, living in harmony with your cycle, and being beholden to it. And as a society, we've almost made those things be like one and the same. So like basics here, if this is new to you, I'll do this 30-second version. You have four phases of your overall menstrual cycle. Phase one is your period, menstruation. Whenever your period starts is day one of your cycle. For most women, it's 3 to 7 days. Phase two runs concurrent with phase one. That's your follicular phase, day one of your cycle until ovulation day, which is around days 14 to 15 for the majority of women. Ovulation is the third phase and the shortest phase. It is only one day. It is a 24-hour window when you are ovulating and can become pregnant. Again, big misconception with birth control, right? Of the you will get pregnant and die that we all learned from Mean Girls. You can only get pregnant one day per cycle and is a 24-hour window. Your luteal phase is the fourth and final phase from ovulation until the start of your next period. For 90% of women, it is 14 days exactly. There are some that have like what we call a luteal phase defect that may have a shorter or longer luteal phase. But for the vast majority, it's 2 weeks because that's how long it takes for those hormones to metabolize out of your system if you did not become pregnant. And your luteal phase can be split into two parts: early luteal phase, the first week after ovulation, and late luteal phase, the second week after ovulation or the week before your period. And so as women, being able to be aware of these phases of our cycle and learning to live in harmony with it, to say to your point, Jess, you're going to have more energy around ovulation than you are around your period. right? Like think of our body and our cycle, like the four seasons of year, that you've got springtime with your follicular phase, summertime with your ovulation window, fall with your luteal phase, and winter with your period itself. And so being able to say, okay, I'm not going to go as hard in the gym when I'm approaching menstruation. I want to be kind to my body. Maybe I'm resting more. Maybe I'm eating more like warming, nourishing foods. I'm getting more sleep. I'll do yoga instead of going on a run. I think that is beautiful. And that is something we should all be doing because men live on a 24-hour cycle. So men's hormones are 24 hours and it looks almost identical day after day after day after day. Well, as women, we have our 24-hour cycle and our 28 to 32-day cycle. So our hormones are going through this beautiful dance throughout the month. It's not a flat, straight, linear line, right? We are not like men. We don't have that flat line until we are postmenopausal. But we're using the term cycle syncing and being beholden to our cycle like interchangeably. And that's where my problem is. Because my goal with my clients is that your period surprises you. You're like, oh, my period started today. I didn't even realize it was going to start today because I feel great. I'm not fatigued. I'm not in bed. I wasn't having the severe cramping. I'm not, you know, an emotional roller coaster person. But we've normalized things so much that it's like, oh, I can feel it coming. The next couple of days are going to be rough. Again, like those are symptoms from your body to say like, Jess, something's going on. We need to figure out what's happening here. Like, please take a look under the hood. And so that's my goal with my clients is I love when I get the text from them that's like, oh my God, it just happened, Rach. I just got my period and it was like, surprise, she's here. And it didn't like blow me away. That's what I want for all women is our cycle, our period. It gets to be such an incredible gift in our life, our health span as women. But it's something that we've turned into something really negative, something that, ugh, my period's coming, I'm PMSing, it's derailing my life. And that's a social construct, right? Like that's a story that we've been told for decades now that somehow we've all just started believing and accepting as truth.
I talk a lot about how your period is actually a good thing. So I like your positive reframes. I loved how you said it's like a dance. That was beautifully said. But what I talk about a lot for women who are not on any form of birth control and are just out there living life is your period is a sign that you are taking care of yourself. Like it is the signal you're sending to your body with what you're doing on a day-to-day life, like what you're eating, how you're training, how your stress is, all of those things is your body's not going to bring a child into a stressful environment. So if you're getting your period, it's a sign that you're taking good care of yourself, that you're not in extreme amount of stress and that your body is like, hey, we're good. We can reproduce a kid if we needed to. Like this is an environment, a healthy environment to bring another person, a human being into.
Totally.
So on the topic of having rough periods or rough hormones or just things out of whack and you're all of a sudden, to those of you listening, like you have sirens blowing off like, oh my God, this is happening to me. Can you first talk about like how can some lifestyle factors impact your hormone? So talk about like how some things can mess them up or make your symptoms even worse. And then dive into what are some steps someone can do to try to improve their hormones naturally?
Yeah. So I fell into the trap of making things worse unintentionally for a really long time. Because again, like my story, especially in my early 20s, I had so many issues with my weight and it was so scary. And I fell into the diet culture rabbit hole. Again, this was many moons ago. I think one of the good things about social media is we bring people together and we are now using this as a platform for good, which it makes me really happy and really grateful. That I remind my clients that no amount of dieting, no amount of exercising is going to resolve any hormonal imbalance that you are struggling with. So if you are struggling with your weight and it is being driven by hormones, aka the scale is not moving, the scale is moving in the wrong direction, you're like, I'm doing everything right and I only lost 1 pound this month, what is going on? Dieting more, exercising more is not the answer. And in a lot of cases, it's going to make it worse. Especially if something like your adrenals are really overtaxed. Well, then guess what? Doing more high-intensity exercise is pouring gasoline on that fire. So I see women eating way, way, way too little. I think it surprises people when they come to work with me as a nutritionist how much more food they are eating. Being able to have the right balance of macronutrients to optimize hormone health, blood sugar balance, and reduce inflammation. And being able to say, hey, like doing more high intensity exercise, doing more cardio, doing more heavy weightlifting is not always the right answer. Like certainly, like I've worked with athletes, I've worked with like physique competitors. It's just, that's a small subset of people that are doing very, very intense exercise, but also then probably need to be eating a lot more than the regular person. Most days, my exercise is walking. I used to do CrossFit 5 days a week and I ran my adrenals and my hormones into the ground. But again, I thought this is how I'm going to lose weight is I'm just going to work out really, really hard. I made my chronic fatigue worse. The scale was not moving. My face was super puffy. Like my face was like a complete circle. I just had so much inflammation in my body. And then I started getting injured because my body's like, okay, Rachel, you're obviously not listening to us. Like, let's just throw more and more symptoms at you. And so being able to say, okay, like, what am I feeling in my body right now? Like, I think it is such an art form to slow down and say, tune into how you're feeling. What are those top feelings in your body? Is it anxiety? Is it fatigue? Is it that inflammation? Like, my joints hurt. My face is puffy. I'm dealing with acne or eczema, and maybe I'm having headaches or migraines or brain fog. I think it is such an art form to cultivate bodily awareness instead of just trying to do more, push harder, take more action. Sometimes we have to slow down. So if you're feeling really, really fatigued right now and you're pushing really hard with your workouts, what might it look like to spend a month just doing walking or yoga? If you're like, oh my God, I'm like so strict with my diet and that's causing you a lot of anxiety or maybe hurting your relationship with food, what might it look like to take a step back from that? What might it look like to, instead of trying to do a workout, taking a nap or doing a meditation or laying outside in the sun and reading a book? There are so many ways to nourish our body that people are like, well, that's not going to do anything, right? I have a private membership community and we're recording this on the first day of the month and I send out a new challenge to them every month. And every time I send this out, I'm like, this is going to seem like nothing, right? Like this is going to be like, how is this going to work? But if you give me 30 days with it, like you will be really surprised. And our focus area for May is nervous system regulation. So really like on trend and on theme with this. Say like doing more isn't always better. So I inevitably, like without realizing it, was making my symptoms a lot worse because I was trying so hard to avoid these symptoms. I was so afraid of like having to always be going and buying a larger size of jeans. I didn't want to be photographed. Like there's a few years of my life where you cannot find a picture of me because I'm like, well, I'll take your picture, but like, I'm not getting in front of the camera. And I didn't like those kinds of things that are a big quality of life detriment. But just know, like if you're doing that right now, it's okay. I did it for a lot of years. I was on birth control for 12 years, you guys. Like there were so many years of my life where I had no idea what I was doing. I was making everything worse due to lack of education. But when we know better, we do better. So meet yourself where you are right now and know that it is okay. Whether you're on day one or day 1000 of your journey, you're moving in the right direction. So like some easy strategies, easy things for you to focus on. I think a big one for women especially is sleep. Women need more sleep than men. The, you know, average recommendation of, oh, you need 7 hours of sleep is not accurate. Men can get by with 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Remember, they don't rely on their adrenals the way we do as women. And your adrenals are like batteries that recharge while you're sleeping. Women on average need 8 to 9 hours of sleep. So if you are someone who's burning the candle at every single end and you're procrastinating by watching Netflix in bed at night, you're doom scrolling your phone and then your alarm goes off and you snooze it a million times and you end up scrolling your phone in the morning, prioritize sleep. It is such a critical foundation. If you need somewhere to start, go get 8 or 9 hours of sleep tonight, right?
Okay, so my audience, they know this by now. Every guest I've brought on in the last several months, and my own episodes as well as like, I think the third episode I ever did was on the importance of sleep. Like, I hammer it in. One of the first things I work on with a client is their nighttime routine, because everyone glorifies a morning routine, but I was like, you can't have the morning routine, can't have energy for it without good sleep. That good sleep comes from your nighttime routine. But everything, literally every single conversation that I have with a guest, so I'm so glad you're bringing it up, always comes back to sleep. So if you're listening right now and you still haven't done this, and we have given you like 30 million signs to do it, let this be that final sign and actually prioritize your sleep. Like, please, for the love of God, go prioritize it.
It's so critically, it's one of the most critical foundations. So I'd say that's one. I mean, Jess has obviously hit you over the head with it over and over and over again. Now I am here hitting you over the head with it. Again, like, you're like, well, I'm worried about losing weight, Rachel. Like, I can't let go of my gym routine. Trust me. Just trust me. Like, take a leap of faith. Trust me and go get some sleep. Number two, I would say, oh man. All right, I'm going to say number two is the importance of regulating your circadian rhythm. So like we talked about, you have a 24-hour cycle and you have a 28-32-day cycle, but they're all linked. They're all synced up to master clocks that you have in your body. And primitive humans only had one real way to tell time, which was the sun and light exposure. So we evolved with the sun. We evolved to be getting light exposure as a way to tell our bodies what time of day it is. Is it daytime or is it nighttime? But we now live in a 24-hour day, quote unquote, daylight world where you can have light on in the middle of the night and you could sit in a dark room in the middle of the day. And this causes all those clocks to get out of time, right? So if everything's supposed to be like on this like global clock in your body, now we've got one that's like in Pacific time and one that's in Eastern and one that's in Australia and one that's in London. And your hormones rely very heavily on that master clock to dictate when a hormone gets made, how much of it gets made, and when the hormone gets metabolized out. So like going back to sleep, melatonin is a really good example of that. Melatonin is a hormone, is a growth hormone, is also an antioxidant. And your body makes melatonin in response to exposure to light during the day to be made in the evening. So when the pandemic started and people stopped going outside, we saw a huge increase in the instance of insomnia, which then led to the increase in prescription of sleeping pills. And it's because production of melatonin got really dysregulated. So going and spending time outside, getting real light, real sunlight on your skin, especially in the morning, and then being mindful of your exposure to light when it's dark at night to make sure that you're not sending your body mixed signals, right? Like looking at a really bright screen at 10 o'clock at night, your body struggles to tell the difference between that and daytime because your optic nerve is sensing light. And your skin is covered in photoreceptors. So when we can make it dark in our house during the evening hours and when we can get exposure to bright light from the sun during the day, we're reminding our body, all right, girlfriend, it's daytime. All right, girlfriend, it's nighttime, to ensure that your clocks are synced to the right time.
Yeah, I call it the turning down the volume of life. And it's as your external environment goes down, your internal environment should go down. So the lights, the volume, any intense conversations, eating and drinking, like all those things, like you need to tell your body you're going to bed soon. You don't just hop into bed after running around all day and be like, yeah, I'll go to sleep and it'll be good sleep. Like, no, that's not how it works. Our bodies are very smart, but very simple. So very stupid at the same time. And I think that's like the best way to describe it.
Right. I mean, your amygdala, your reptilian brain has not evolved much in like the last 10,000 years. Like yeah. Its prime directive is to keep you alive, keep you safe, and procreate. That's basically it. So when we're thinking about those prime directives in our bodies, like those are very, very simple directives.
I say that we all the time, this is my quote, I should get it tattooed somewhere, but we have an outdated brain in a modern day society.
Totally.
All right. So we talked about sleep. We talked about circadian rhythm. Is there a third thing that someone can start to work on right now, like starting today, starting the moment they listen to this, that can just help improve their hormones?
Yeah, I would say the third one is nutrition. So I'm a huge foodie. Food is my love language. Food made me really sick for a long time, and food is what healed me. So never, ever forget that food is a type of prescription. Food is a prescription that we are taking anywhere from 3 to 4, maybe 5 times a day, which means that we are getting multiple opportunities on a daily basis to either be nourishing our body and our hormones or potentially causing damage. And that was a big mindset shift for me, is I don't moralize food, especially having recovered from disordered eating. Food is not good or bad, right? Like, our food system may have ulterior motives, but food itself is an inanimate object. And so I remind my clients that food can be nourishing or it can be indulgent. And we don't live in a world where we don't eat indulgent foods. Like, I have a huge sweet tooth. I eat dessert every night. That's one of, like, my core tenets, one of the things that brings me joy. But I focus on, like, what are the nourishing foods that are ensuring I feel the way I want to feel. So when people come to me and they're saying, I just don't feel good, I'm tired, I'm cranky, I don't like the way I look, like all of those things, food is such a powerful medicine to change the way your body operates on a daily basis, change the way that you feel on a daily basis. So that's a place that you can start. What is one thing you could add? Okay, like adding in more fibrous foods, more dark leafy greens, more antioxidant-rich foods, adding in more protein. Please add in more protein. Ladies, I will die on that hill. Or what is something right now that is, you know, falls in that indulgent category for you that maybe isn't making you feel your best, that we could either swap for a healthy alternative, reduce consumption of, or eliminate? So like, you probably wouldn't know this now, like, especially as a nutritionist, I used to drink soda like it was going to stop being produced, okay? Like, it was really, really bad for a lot of years of my life, including like coffee, energy drinks, like you name it. And I, like, right, we're not stupid, right? I'm like, I know this is not a health food, okay? Like, you're not sitting here being like, is she gonna try to tell me that soda is healthy? No, like, we all know that it's not. But we've got pathways in our brain that keep us stuck in behaviors, even if we don't want to do them. And so you have to trust this process that your taste buds on your tongue have a 10-day lifespan. So in 10 days' time, not a single taste bud on your tongue right now will be there anymore. That means that if there is something that you're like, I cannot give up this soda, right? I just cannot do it. Could you give me 10 days of avoiding it? Just 10. Just try it for 10 days. Then try drinking the soda again and tell me how it tastes. Because right now, the taste buds that are programmed for that hyperpalatable food, and fill in the blank with whatever it is, soda, Starbucks, chips, cookies, crackers, anything that comes in a box or a package that has more than 10 ingredients or things that you can't read that was made in a lab, your body does not know what it is, which means your hormones do not know what it is. And if we can give our taste buds just 10 days to turn over in their life cycle, it actually changes the way that we perceive those foods. They might not taste as good anymore. You might not want them as much anymore, because your palate, your taste buds drive a lot of your cravings, because that's what makes things taste good, right? Like, most mammals do not have taste buds. They do not taste and experience food the way that humans do. And what a gift that is, that we can have such a deep love and joy derived from food, especially in our society, in our culture, and in our relationships. But it's been weaponized against us by big food and by manufactured food. They have used that science of palatability to create foods that you cannot control yourself around. It is not your fault. It is not anybody's fault. A scientist is weaponizing your biology against you. And when we can recognize that, when we can recognize that we're fighting an uphill battle against the processed food industry, and that their job is to get you addicted to products so that you buy more of it, we can take our power back to say, nobody's ever overconsumed broccoli, folks. I don't know anybody that's been like, oh shit, I'm going to overdose on broccoli today. I can't stop eating it. Because your body can self-regulate nourishing foods. Your body cannot self-regulate these indulgent, hyper-palatable foods that were designed to become addictive. So I would say, like, just take a look at your nutrition and pick one thing. If you're like, okay, I'm going to add one more serving of veggies to my diet every day. Or, you know, I've been addicted to these freaking crackers or chips or whatever, and I just keep buying them and keep eating them, and I know that I'm falling into the trap that big food has created for me, I'm going to get myself out of it. And maybe I'm going to pick a better for me option, or I'm going to substitute it for something else completely. You know, we don't change our nutrition overnight. We change it one baby step at a time. And, you know, you and I, Jessica, probably spend an entire hour on conspiracy theories in the healthcare system and big food and big pharma. But like, I will shut up now so we can
I mean, it's true. I send the same message that eat whole foods. It again goes back to what were we doing in caveman times, which my listeners hear me talk about a lot because of that outdated system in a modern day world. So it just, it's everything. If you just wake up to your life and take a step back, you will see it is everything. It's everywhere. It's technology is great, but it's also one of the worst things that could happen to us. So I agree.
Awesome. Love it.
So this podcast is for 20-somethings, and our bodies continue to change, especially as females, because we're preparing to bear children, whether we actually want them or not, or there's been a term of we go through a second puberty in our 20s. Can you talk about some common changes and maybe even possible challenges that a woman might experience throughout her 20s in regards to her body and in regards to her hormones?
Absolutely. So the harsh reality of the system that we live in is that like 80%, like we're talking an overwhelming majority of women will use hormonal birth control at some point. It is the number one prescription that is prescribed for a reason other than its on-label purpose. So do not forget the only on-label approved use for birth control is pregnancy prevention. It is the number one prescription given for reasons besides that. I was not having sex at 15 years old. A lot of women, again, young girls, are being put on it when they are not sexually active. So what I see in my practice is I see a lot of women then coming to me and they're saying, well, okay, now I'm having these detrimental effects. So I think people go one of two ways. They get put on birth control and their body reacts quickly and violently to it, like your experience. You're like, WTF? This ain't it. Then there's women like me where my symptoms progressively got worse so slowly that I did not correlate it to the birth control. I did not have any wild symptoms when I first started taking it. It was a slow degradation of my health. And we're seeing this revival, we're seeing this awakening of women of all ages taking back their reproductive health to the point where if you saw it and if you didn't, you can go find it. The Wall Street Journal just did a giant slanderous article paid for by Big Pharma to discredit quote unquote misinformation around birth control from people probably like me that are out here educating women on side effects that their doctors did not tell them about. So the vast majority of women that I see in their 20s, they've had this epiphany, they've had this realization, or they're starting to think about family planning. And they're like, okay, well, I took birth control and I still feel like things aren't right. I'm off of it, but things still don't feel right. Or I'm on birth control and I no longer want to be, but I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Because in a lot of cases, we're put on birth control for symptoms. The symptoms are still there. The underlying imbalances are still there. We like lock them in a closet, but they're still in there. So if your body never fully went through puberty when you were in your teen years, remember, this is like for most women, 13 to 18, 13 to 20 in a lot of cases, we like put a pause on your puberty and it's still in the closet, but it's got to come out at some point. And we've got to, you know, lovingly escort it out of the building. So knowing that like that's a bridge you have to cross as a woman. And if you took birth control and it stunted your puberty in some way, or you're still using birth control and your puberty's locked in the closet, it's how can we lovingly usher your puberty through the house, out into the world, so that you don't have to go through it again. And that is so much of what I see from women in their 20s. And to be honest with you, most of my clients are late 20s, 30s, and 40s, because women in their early 20s do not have this awareness yet. So like what a gift it is if you are listening to this in your late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, that you're having this realization now. You're having this epiphany now. What I wouldn't give, I'm 31 now, what I wouldn't give to go back 10 years with the information that I have now so that I could have stopped the suffering I was dealing with so much sooner. And I think there's a lot of changes that, you know, women's bodies go through in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Like, your hormones are going to change every decade of your life. And so it's being able to understand what those changes are and support your body through those changes. But it's also important to know that hormonal imbalances tend to have a snowball effect. So what might be a little imbalance right now in your 20s that you might be asymptomatic gets a little bit bigger and a little bit louder. And so that's when I see women in their 30s and 40s that they're like, well, I didn't deal with this in my 20s. And I'm like, well, it was probably there. It just wasn't a big enough imbalance yet to be causing symptoms. The very, very last thing to happen in the disease cycle is the symptom itself. So everything happens in the disease cycle before a symptom. So by the time you have a symptom, whatever problem was happening could have been going on for months or for years. So I think women in their 20s are in a really unique position to get ahead of it. Say like, okay, what can I do to head this off at the pass? What can I do to squash these little whispering voices before they're screaming at me 5, 10, 20 years from now? And what can I do to protect my fertility and my longevity? Infertility, unfortunately, is like at an all-time high. We've never had better medicine than we have now, and we've never had higher rates of infertility in men and women. So what can you do to be really protective of your reproductive health if you want kids? So I no longer use hormonal birth control. I've been off hormonal birth control for 5 years. My husband and I do not want children. I have no intention of using birth control. I avoid pregnancy naturally. Well, what can you do to avoid pregnancy naturally until you're ready to start your family and then be able to start your family really easily? Like we talked about when this episode started, doctors saying, oh, well, when you're ready to get pregnant, just throw your birth control in the garbage and then you can't get pregnant. And what happens if you don't stop that birth control till you're 35 and then you're 37 and you're still not pregnant? And then you end up in an IVF treatment center and then you're shelling out $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. Now you're 40 and now you're really anxious about your fertility because you're still not pregnant. And you say, oh, what I wish, what I wouldn't give to go back to when I was 25 and do something differently. So like the gift of time is like the most valuable currency we will ever be given. And like what a gift it is to be in your 20s and learn this information now to say, you know, I might not want a family for 10 years, but I'm going to do what I need to do now to make sure that when I'm ready, I'm not going to face barriers. I'm not going to end up on the conveyor belt of fertility treatments. And, you know, I see women going into menopause earlier and earlier. I'm seeing such a high instance of infertility. And I can trace it all the way back to these imbalances in birth control and medication use in teen and 20 somethings that is leading to these problems down the line.
Yeah. And guys, we don't want to scare you, but we do want to wake you up. And so consider this your wake up call. It's not too late. You can definitely get your shit together because you know that's what this podcast is all about. But I want to ask you, Rachel, how would someone go about getting off of birth control so that they don't experience this huge rebound effect and that they can properly escort their puberty out of the house, as you were saying it?
Yes, exactly. And you're so right, Jess. Like, my intention is never to scare anyone, but my intention is to be brutally honest with you because we are all adults here. And I'm not here to baby you. You are an adult. You can make your own decisions, but you cannot make a decision without informed consent. So if you have your eyes wide open about the side effects of any medication, any lifestyle choice, and then you can say, I'm informed and I'm making this decision with my information. Excellent. That is all I want for every woman on earth. I was never given the opportunity to give the informed consent. I don't think my mom was even able to give informed consent at the time. So when we know better, we do better. Even if that means we don't actually make changes, but we at least are informed about what we're doing and our behaviors, that's what matters. So I tell my clients, I'm like, I'm not here to baby you. You are an adult. I am an adult. We are making adult decisions, but we have to be informed to make them. So if you are on birth control right now and you're like, oh shit, like the writing is on the wall, right? Like, you're falling into that group of women that the Wall Street Journal was trying to gaslight the shit out of. This is for you. And if you go read through the comments on the Wall Street Journal's post on Instagram, like, women are raging in there. And I'm just like, go off. Like, it's incredible to see. Like the awakening that is happening is just amazing. So one, most importantly, do not stop your birth control cold turkey. Please, 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 whatever you do, if you are listening to this and you're like, I'm going to go throw my birth control in the garbage after this conversation with Rach, please do not do that. You run the risk of developing something called post-birth control syndrome, which is either a rebounding or worsening of symptoms you were trying to suppress before you started birth control, or a cropping up of new symptoms as a result of the hormonal floodgates happening in your body. So here's what's happening when you're using hormonal birth control. Hormonal birth control is using synthetic hormones to suppress your menstrual cycle. I don't even like using the term birth control because what it's actually doing is a medicated menopause. So if you remember, we talked about your hormones doing this beautiful dance throughout the cycle. Birth control flatlines your hormones to make it similar to a men's hormonal cycle or a menopausal women's hormonal cycle. You lose all of those beautiful curves. You're in a state of medicated menopause, which means you are not ovulating, which means you are not becoming pregnant. That's how it works. Well, ovulation is the most important thing to happen in your menstrual cycle. The most important thing to happen on a monthly basis is ovulation. And your ovaries, they're the epicenter of your reproductive health. We now know that not ovulating, it's kind of like not starting your car. If I parked your car in a garage and I let it sit for years and years and years and I never started it, and then I just hopped in it one day and was like, let's go for a ride. I'm going to turn that key and nothing is going to happen. Gas tank is empty. The battery's dead. I don't know what else could go wrong. Like, again, I don't know anything about cars, so just forgive this example. But we could probably make a safe bet that the car's not going to start. So this advice that we see for women to say, when you're ready to get pregnant, just stop the birth control, does not mean that your ovaries are immediately going to start working again. In addition, the synthetic hormones from birth control get stored in your body. So they are getting stored in your adipose tissue, in your fat cells. Those are your body's storage containers. And then when you stop using birth control, your natural hormone production starts up again. But you've got this huge volume of synthetic hormones that are also in your body at the same time. And it's like a dam that is breaking. The cup runneth over from a hormonal perspective. So when we think about detoxing from birth control, and this is what I take my clients through really intentionally, is we have to prepare your body to come off birth control first, which means detoxing from those synthetic hormones ahead of time, getting those pathways open and moving, facilitating natural detoxification, while at the same time replenishing lost vitamins and minerals that are depleted by birth control itself. The goal with hormonal birth control detox is it's like that magic trick where there's like glassware on a table and we want to pull the tablecloth out from under the glassware without moving anything. That is what effectively prepping your body to get off birth control is going to do. If you just rip that tablecloth off and all the glass shatters, it's a lot harder to put it back together versus doing the preparation, practicing the trick ahead of time so that when you actually stop your birth control, your body has already started the process of naturally detoxifying the synthetic hormones. We're repairing symptoms, the systems like your gut, your adrenals, and your liver with vitamins and minerals that get depleted. Your gut gets shredded by hormonal birth control. So really doing a lot of gut repair after, you know, during your transition off birth control, and then having the right tactics in place to regulate your cycle. So I walk my clients through, hey, the goal is that you get your first quote unquote real period within 60 days of getting off birth control. But if you don't, how are we going to troubleshoot it? What are our strategies to help your body initiate your first real period and start getting the ball rolling in the right direction? Knowing it can be irregular in the beginning, right? It's like your car hasn't run in a while. We got to like put the puzzle pieces back together to make sure that it works. And I remind women that they should expect one menstrual cycle of healing for every year they used hormonal birth control. So if you, like you, Jess, if you only used birth control for 5 months, your body bounced back pretty quickly. Your storage of synthetic hormones was not very much. Well, I used hormonal birth control consecutively for 12 years of my life. So it took my body like a full year to detox and recover from all of the damage that had been done. And so we have to remember that we need to give our bodies grace and compassion, that we're asking a lot of her. And we were in this like Amazon Prime culture of like everything shows up in 24, 48 hours. And then we're like, what the fuck, body? Like, why aren't you getting it together when it's been only a month or 2 months, but you were on birth control for 10 years? So it's also having the right mindset for healing to say, okay, like this didn't happen overnight. It's not going to undo itself overnight, but I'm going to love on and support my body and nourish her in the best way possible. So this is something I feel so passionately about. I actually have an entire program called Better Than Birth Control, and it is like your step-by-step process on how to prepare and detox from hormonal birth control in the safest and effective way possible. Jess, I'm happy to share that with your audience. I'm happy to give them a discount on it as well. If they want to explore that program or join that program, I am happy to offer them a discount as a listener for you. Because I want every woman on earth, when it comes time to get off birth control, to know exactly how to do it, what to do and when to do to have the easiest transition off possible. And then once we're off birth control and our cycle has gotten some semblance of regular, that's when we can get into the fun stuff like functional lab testing. Since we cannot do functional lab testing while you're using hormonal birth control, because we would not be getting accurate insights due to the synthetic hormones.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great for my audience. I know a lot of people listening that have been on birth control for many, many years, if not more than a decade. So I know it would definitely interest them to inquire about it, if not fully work with you. I mean, this is why I bring guests on the show, because I know I say I'm a one-stop shop, but there's certain things that are out of my reach, and hormones and birth control is a little bit more out of my reach. I got lucky with one of my clients who quit it cold turkey, and luckily she was not put on it for any other reason besides preventing babies, which I had asked her about. I had the knowledge and the wherewithal to ask her about that first because of my own experience, honestly, and she wasn't. So she had no issues. It was a very seamless. We tracked, we wrote down like sleep, energy, like how she's feeling, when she was getting it, like everything, and kept it all documented so that we would know, oh, is this like an every 3 months this is happening? Or was this like a once in a blue moon, your body's still adjusting? So I got lucky with that client. She's listening to this. We got lucky. That's all I'm going to say. But this
And some women do, right? Like I've had some women come to me, to your point. They were like, well, I was just put on this for pregnancy prevention. I wasn't put on it for endo or PCOS or the acne or anything else. So I've seen that too. I had like the world's worst experience because, and that's one of the reasons I became so passionate about it is, you know, all those years ago when I was like, I think the birth control is the problem. I'm going to throw this shit in the garbage. And like all hell broke loose in my body in the following few months. I had like terrible hot flashes, terrible insomnia. I gained like 15 pounds in 6 weeks from water retention and inflammation. My hair was falling out. My cystic acne like exploded. And I was like, oh, I don't think I did this right. But I don't think nobody's telling us how to do this any differently. And that's like how I started like uncovering it and like being able to really understand like the inner workings of like how our body detoxes and what we need to do to support it. So yes, I will share that link with you. I will program in the discount code. You can use the discount code Jess. That's what I'll make the discount code for your audience. So I will send that over to you to put in the show notes as well.
Okay, perfect. I mean, I feel like this is a good way to end this episode. If you guys listening are like, we want more, I feel like we could talk about this for forever and ever, honestly. But I also know my listeners, myself included, we only have so much of an attention span. So we are going to wrap it up. But I'd love to hear more. I'm so happy to be connected with you now. And I'll have everything linked in the show notes for myself to access as well as my audience to access. But I just want to thank you for being a guest on How To 20 Something.
Oh my gosh. This is my favorite topic in the world to talk about, anything related to hormones. So I'm happy to come back anytime. We can do a Q&A episode with your audience. We could talk about lab testing. We could talk about fertility and family planning. We could talk about anything under the sun. It has just been such a joy to be here. And like you said, we could probably go for 2 or 3 hours. But I want to be cognizant of everyone's time and attention, that you've been such great listeners throughout this episode. And I've just loved being here with you, Jess.
Yeah. Where can people find you if they have questions themselves, if they don't want to wait for a Q&A episode, or if they just want to follow you, if they're curious about the work that you do, where can they find you the best?
Yeah, I am at Real Health with Rach across all platforms. I am most active on Instagram. So if you want to chat, if you have any questions for me about this episode or anything going on in your body, just send me a DM and just say, hey, I heard you on the 20-something podcast. Like, got a question or I want to talk to you about something. I'm realhealthwithrach.com. That's my website. And I'm an open book. I'm here to be a resource for you and your audience. So anything that you want to talk about, any questions you have, any way I can support you, that is where you can find me.
All right. And you guys know that that will be linked in the show notes as well. But this does conclude another episode of How To 20 Something. If you liked what you heard, please share it on social media, tag me at coach.jessdiamond, tag Rachel, Real Health with Rach. And when you do so, share it with a friend, give me a 5-star rating, subscribe to stay up to date with the newest episode. And as always, I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.